Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to study the theme, Making Friends for God, the joy of sharing in His mission. Lesson 9, Developing a Winning Attitude. Our memory text. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. First Epistle of Peter, chapter 3, verse 15. Receptivity to the gospel. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 4, we are reported the following story. Jesus, when he walked from Galilee to Jerusalem and back to Galilee, he had to take his way through Samaria for the shortest distance. Otherwise, you have to go around here. And here near Sychar, when he was there, he sat down at the well outside of the city and of this village, and the disciples went into the city to buy some food. In the meantime, Jesus waiting there for his disciples to come back, a woman approached the well at noon, high noon. So this is strange. Normally in the morning, in the evening, but not at high noon when it is the hottest part of the day. And the woman was surprised that there is someone at the well, at high noon. And she was surprised to see a Jew. And then she was surprised when this Jew started talking to her. Give me to drink. And when she heard this, give me to drink, she said, how is it? In verse 9 of chapter 4. How is it that you, being a Jew, asks a drink of me? Which am I, a woman of Samaria? Why are you doing that? If you knew the gift of God, is Jesus' answer, and who is it that says to you, give me the drink? You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Living water is water of a fountain. The woman? Where have you got this living water? Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, shall never thirst. Huh? And she says, give me this water. Then there's no more need to come here. Go, call your husband and come hither. I have no husband. You hast well said, I have no husband, for you had five husbands. And he whom you now have is not your husband. In that, you said it truly. I see you're a prophet. And this woman discovers that Jesus can do something against the thirst in her soul.
he can satisfy this thirst in her soul. And she runs back, leaving the jug behind. It's still there on the well. It's not important anymore. She ran back, telling everyone, "Come, see, I think outside there at the well is the Messiah." And all the people of the village, they all go out to the well. It's high noon. It's the hottest part of the day. And they all make their way to the well. The Messiah is there. What a message of a woman. An attitude adjustment. In Matthew 15, verse 21 and the following, we read a story that Jesus went with his disciples far, far to the north, to Tyrus and Sidon. I show these two cities. This brown area here is Phoenicia, today the state of Lebanon. And it is for the first and last time that Jesus left the area, the region of the Jews. So he went off into a heathen territory up there. Normally he was around here. And sometimes in Jerusalem, but now in the north, outside the country of the Jews. And there, and behold, verse 22, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts. So she is a heathen woman. And she cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, you son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Son of David. She calls him son of David. And she calls him Lord. So she must have known him. And he must have known her. But he answered her not a word. So that's not typical for Jesus, isn't it? That's strange. That's not him. And then his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." She doesn't stop. "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." She is not from Israel. Jesus acts as Jews act. Heathen, not clean, unclean. And she said, "Truth, that's true. You're sent to the house of Israel." But she went on, fell down in front of his knees, feet, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Now, this is hard. Imagine. Heathen people called dogs. So normally you move away when you hear something like this. And you are badly hurt in your soul, aren't you? And she says, "That's right." Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. This woman, she can be admired. And then Jesus said, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Why did Jesus behave like that? Two reasons. He wanted to show to his disciples how Jews act. Unclean people, no conversation. He did not answer a word. And testing the woman, testing her faith, if she would continue asking for help, or going away because he hadn't answered her cry at once. And she saw in Jesus' eyes that words and his heart, the mood of his heart is not the same. She knew it. He will act. She knew it. Son of David, O Lord, help my daughter. And in the end, he helped. And this was for the first time that he moved to heathen territory. And the report showed, Jesus wants to help everybody if they have deep faith. Presenting the truth in love. It's great. It's great, this headline. Presenting the truth in love. If you do not present the truth, what is it good for? And if you do not present the truth in love, what is it good for? But presenting the truth in love, this is good for everything. In Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians in chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, we find the following. There are three, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. If you do not experience grace, you will not experience peace. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly. Your faith grows exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you, all toward each other, abounds. Ha! Now this is a message? This is a letter sent to a church. So their love towards each other increases. Can you imagine that? Have you ever heard anything like that before? The love increases. Unbelievable. Love increases in a church. And the Apostle Paul writes this. It's not my words. He says that about the church in Thessaloniki. So they have understood the main message. Love for one another. When we have a look at this painting here, this piece of art by Maximilian Jantzscher, the Austrian artist, the Good Shepherd, Jesus told stories about shepherds. One has 100 sheep, and at the end of the day, he's going to count them. 100 sheep must be there, and he counts 99. One is missing. So he locks in the 99, and it's already getting dark, and he's on his way, looking for the lost sheep. And when he finds it, he carries it on his shoulders back home. And Jesus is the good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. On this page we find a remarkable statement of Ellen G. White about the importance of positive relationships. This is the most important quotation in this quarter. So it's good to listen. If we humble ourselves before God and be kind and courteous and tender-hearted and pitiful, so full of pity, there would be 100 conversions to the truth, where now there's only one. What? 1 to 100? This is the difference. If we act in these three areas, being courteous, tender-hearted, pitiful, kind. A positive relationship would produce 100-fold more. A positive relationship to people. Now this quotation, it's from God, impresses me very, very much. What about me? What about you? Here we have a great chance to act. The foundation of acceptance. In Romans chapter 15, verse 7, we read, "Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God." Receive one another as Christ has received you. A simple message, but powerful. Very, very powerful. And in his letter to the Ephesians, in chapter 4, verse 32, we read, "And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." Kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. This is the foundation of acceptance. In the past, we have experienced that people act in a way we would call it's a misbehaving way. And this happened in the past, and it happens in the present, and it will happen in the future. You can be sure about that. And maybe even you and me, we act in a misbehaving way. Can be, or? It will be. It happened, and it is, and it will. What to do then if someone has hurt you deep in your soul? Now you can start hating him for being hurt. You are hurt, therefore hate. Is that a solution? It will kill you in your soul. And Jesus has forgiven you. There was a time when you were not in harmony with him. Right? And he has forgiven you. Now there is a human being. Acted not correctly. Now what to do? You are hurt. And you are called to forgive. That's all. Yeah, but what but? You're called to forgive as Christ has forgiven you. That's all you have to do. It's as simple as that. But it's not easy. It is simple, but not easy. Because there is pride in ourselves. But we are hurt. And here, and be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. This is the foundation of acceptance. If we act in this way, consequences will follow, positive ones. What have we had last day? There will be 100 conversions to truth, but at the moment there is one, if we act like this. Because it is such a seldom acting. You can look around and you find it very rarely. So when it is there, everybody can see it because it's beaming like the sun. Such an acting. It's the best we can do. Be sure about that. Truth lovingly presented. If you do not present the truth, what it is good for? And if you do not present the truth in a loving way, what is it good for? But when you combine it, truth lovingly presented, that's the hammer. This will have an effect. Truth lovingly presented. Peter calls us to do the following in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. That's at the end. Be ready to answer in meekness and fear. I like this, these words. In meekness and fear. It will have an effect. And in the letter to Titus, Paul tells us in chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. What appeared? The kindness and love of God. The kindness and love. Look at our painting. The kindness and love, the Good Shepherd. He carries the weak sheep on his shoulders. It's too weak. It cannot walk by itself. It's too weak. So he carries it. It's easier for him not to carry it. But Jesus does not look for the comfortable way for himself. He is a caring person, caring for the weak. And we should act in this meek and kind way towards others.
Not in a hard and in such a way that you show, oh, I'm highly educated and who are you and I know it. I've studied that. It's the truth. Nobody will answer to such a mood in a positive way. The love must be seen. The love. The love of the Good Shepherd through you.
So here the kindness and love of God appeared towards man. Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. According to his mercy, he saved us. And when your attitude towards another person is full of meekness, full of kindness, full of love, and when you can show, I have been a different person in the past, but the love of Jesus made me to make a turnaround. Then the person that talks to you will see a chance. Oh, I could make a turnaround as well. Okay. There is a loving, caring Father in heaven, full of meekness and empathy and pitiful and positive. And not, he will take care of every mistake and putting in town another black point in your career. No. It's forgotten if you confess. That's Jesus. The Good Shepherd.
Summary. I am a teacher. And when I studied the Holy Scriptures, I grew up in a Protestant church, Lutheran. And when I studied the scriptures, I discovered the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And in those days, in the state of Austria, I had to teach on Sabbath mornings. So it was no day off as nowadays. Nowadays it's easy. But in those times, you have to teach on Sabbath. Now what to do? At the end of the school year, I had studied church history, and then I discovered in 321, Sunday law was expressed, so we celebrate 1,700 years Sunday. But the original day of rest is the Sabbath day.
in Jesus' time and in the apostles' time. So when I discovered this truth, at the end of the school year, in July, I went to my headmaster, telling him about my discovery in the Bible, and I asked him to have the Sabbath day off for free next school year. I work from Monday to Friday, and I can be there on Sunday, but not on Sabbath. And then, when I got the new timetable for the new school year in September, on Sabbath, 4 hours in the morning. Now what to do now? It was Monday. Then it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Sabbath day. 4 more days. What to do now? I had to accompany a group of children, pupils, to the church service, the Roman Catholic church service. And I took place in the first row with my pupils. I sat just in front of the pulpit. And there, and then the priest came. And I prayed, "Oh Lord, what should I do? Only a few more days. And then I'm forced to teach on Sabbath. But I want to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What should I do? They will quit my job. There's no more income. What should I do?" I've built a house. My wife is pregnant. What should I do? "Oh Lord, give me a sign." And then the priest stepped up to the pulpit, the Roman Catholic priest, opened his Bible, John 14:15. Words of Jesus. "If you love me, then you keep my commandments." Whoa! A Roman Catholic priest gave the answer out of the Bible. I was impressed. Thank you, Lord, now I know it. And then the time came, only a few more days. On Friday, I told the headmaster, "I will not be there on Sabbath day. I cannot. It's against my conscience." He became furious. And then a fight with the state officials started. After 1 year, they decided, "You have to go, you have to leave. You get the sack, you are fired." And I protested. It's against my conscience. So it went to court, next court, higher court, higher court. 4 sessions before the highest court made its decision. It took 3.5 years. And in the end, I was fired. But as long as the highest court had not made a decision, I went on teaching. And for 2.5 months, I taught in class, but I had no salary. This was the punishment for not being there on Sabbath day. And then the highest court made a decision. And I was back in school again. The state officials did not dare to act against my conscience. God is great. He is the good shepherd. He takes care of you. He loves you. He's kind and full of meekness and pitiful. He's love.